books teach us. They inspire us. They challenge us, and they expand our horizons. Books contain the best thoughts of the greatest minds in history, but the problem is, there are millions to choose from. So what should you invest your time reading? What should you spend your money on? How do you sort through all the bullshit and find the good shit? You let the superior men do the work. Matt and Jay take the best books, pick the most important points, and distill them down to a concentrated 30-minute podcast. We help you find the books you need to read and why you need to read them. You may even learn something. So take out your coffee, tea, a glass of wine, or a good IPA. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Welcome to the Superior Men Bookcast.
And welcome to the Superior Men Bookcast. I am your host, Jay, but I'm not alone. There's also another gentleman who may be even more important than I am on the show, Mr. Matthew.
Good day, sir, but you still are alone.
Sadness and psychological torture, which is perfect for some of the subject matter in today's podcast, 50 Shades of Grey, which we'll get to in just a moment. Starting out, if you are enjoying the bookcast, if you have been listening to us and are liking our book reviews, please share this bookcast with at least one other person and make their life a little bit better. That is our request for you today.
It is. And be sure also to check out our new books, Sexual Magnetism, the WASM Dating Handbook, and Secrets of Sensual Massage, all available now at wearesuperiormen.com/store. And if you like saving money,
I like money.
If you'd like to save 25%, use promo code PODCAST. Podcast, wearesuperiormen.com/store. All right, on to the show, Jay.
On with the show. By the way, you're going to love all those books. There's a lot of great stuff in there connected with what we're talking about today. But today's bookcast, 50 Shades of Grey, E.L. James is the author. Published 2011. You have probably heard of this book. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a guy, which means you probably haven't read it. We are going to help give you a little bit of insight into what happens in this book and what you're experiencing. What is this book about, Matt?
So this book in its arc, right? It's about an innocent college girl who falls for a young billionaire, I think in his 20s, yes? I don't remember his age exactly, but very powerful person.
Late mid to late 20, I think 26 or something like that, 27.
Right. And who, as it turns out, very, very controlling, very possessive person, and that is both outside and inside the bedroom.
Everywhere he goes, yep. he is a dominant man.
So what are we? So and really, like, what is the purpose of this book here, Jay?
E.L. James mostly wants to tell a very dirty story and to give her readers a chance to go into some territory that they're not familiar with, both in the bedroom, outside the bedroom, to cure boredom. In the bedroom, if you have gotten to the point in your relationship where things have gotten a little bit old, especially a lot of married women, this book helped define the term mommy porn.
Right.
And so for housewives around the world, give them some freaky masturbation material and to offer hope for women who love twisted men.
I'd say broken men, because that's really what this is. It gives women a chance to satisfy their other urge of, you know, fixing a broken man. There's that too. So
there's a lot of things that are just really juicy for the feminine mind in this book.
Yeah. So the people who are going to benefit from this are people who enjoy reading porn or erotica, anybody who has a sex life. if you've ever thought about or been curious about BDSM, and or I guess anybody, if you're just like, yeah, I've heard of it, but maybe I kind of want to know actually what it's about. You're not going to like it if you don't. If you only like good, well-written stories, you're not going to like it.
If you're a great literature fan, this is probably not going to be your cup of tea.
Yeah, and anybody who's highly religious, conservative, any of that. So how about this book? Easy to read. What is it?
It's super easy to read. One of the main criticisms for the book is it could be written by a teenager. So reading wise, it's easy. If you're not into kinky, violent, sexual acts or kind of psychological games and stuff like that, it may be difficult for you to read from that perspective. Definitely kind of pushes a bunch of buttons on purpose. It's a little bit of an investment time wise to read, Matt. I know it's taken you a little while to get through it here. 530 print pages. The audio version is 19 hours and 45 minutes. So, it's a little bit of an investment there, but you know, if you love the book, I've known a bunch of women who have read this 3, 4, 5 times, the entire series of books, multiple times. So if you like it, you know, you might enjoy getting lost in that world. Matt, let's talk about the reviews of the book. How well known is this book?
Well, I think everybody knows it, whether you've heard it or not. I mean, whether you've read it or not. I mean, there was a popular movie. There's, you know, the books. It's basically, if you do not have a Y chromosome, you definitely know about this book and you've probably read it. And so there's a lot of reviews on it. Just shy of 50,000, reviews, on Amazon. It's sold 150 million copies. You know, it's holding at 3.8 stars, out of 5. So, you know, I mean, it's there. We all know about it. And then, you know, just real quick into, some of the, there is a movie on it, right? So there,
yes, yep, three of the movies.
Yeah, three of the movies, and they're amazing, right?
I watched the first one, watched it with a girl. So it was not good. It was so not good. There's a lot better porn out there. There's so much better porn out there. However, having said that, if you're wanting to watch it with a woman, it could be maybe the perfect Netflix and chill movie.
And I would throw into this, I'm pretty sure I've seen the movie or most of the movie, the first one. I would say do that instead of reading the book. Just you'll get the gist of it and it'll only rob you of whatever, an hour and a half. All right. So let's,
if you make it all the way through the movie, which your goal should be to not watch the entire movie if you're watching it with your girl.
Yeah. All right. So give us a little bit about, E.L. James.
So E.L. James she's kind of an interesting, a little bit of an enigma. She hates interviews. She's only done a couple of them. So she doesn't really talk much about her background. What we do know about her, she is 57 years old. She's British, born to a Chilean mother, immigrant, and a Scottish father who's a BBC cameraman. Has a degree in history from University of Kent. Met her husband, Niall, who's a screenwriter and a novelist. And while she was kind of like meeting him, she was becoming working her way up the chain and kind of as a production, working in movie and film production, became a production executive at BBC. And so she has kind of a background in film and drama from an early age. Read the Twilight series by Stephanie Meyer, and which a lot of people kind of compare these two, the Twilight series and the 50 Shades series, in terms of popularity. A lot of people, if they start with Twilight, they move on to 50 Shades afterwards. She read it, became obsessed, and started writing fan fiction under the name Snow Queen's Ice Dragon. So, kind
that's
of
a mouthful.
That's a little bit of a mouthful. It's like you're getting, if you heard that phrase Snow Queen's Ice Dragon and it made you go, oh my goodness, this is, you know, this girl is such a fangirl. That's 100% accurate. She's never written anything prior to this or claims she'd never written anything prior to that. Immediately after finishing reading Twilight, she wrote two fan fiction novels. And those basically turned into the 50 Shades trilogy. From there, she was publishing it online in kind of serial form, and more people were commenting on it. More and more people were like, this is so good. This is incredible. Published it in e-form, and it just exploded. Quickly became the number one Kindle book of all time. 100 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. In 2012, Time Magazine voted her one of the top 100 most influential people in the world. And she's written 6 books so far, 5 novels based on the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy, and then one other one, all of which have sold a lot. She's currently worth $170 million plus. So she has gone from like just a British lady housewife, production assistant into multimedia mogul. Just absolutely fascinating story. Matt, talk about a little bit about the book itself. So this is a little background on James and kind of where she's at. What does the book discuss? Like, what are the themes and kind of some of the ideas in this book?
All right. So there's a lot with this, right? And I think that what, if anything, as a man, really where you should be looking at for this is how this breaks down into the female mind, because it was written by a woman and it's really written for women. This is not written for men.
Nope.
And it touches on all of the pieces that are like the like intrinsic female desires. So they love the, you know, talks about power, talks about wealth, and really wealth in so much as that that money becomes a non-issue. Basically, you have whatever your desire is, you have the money for it. So that's, money's almost a background. And then talks about innocence with the main character, Anna, and definitely talks about violence, trauma, sexual exploration. And then there's definitely a mystery element. So really we're looking at all of these themes here that really boil down to what a woman wants. Like she loves the power, the intrigue, a man being at basically the top of his game, doing whatever he wants, and leading in such a way, having those leadership qualities, the sort of, you know, superior man qualities that we talk about in our book, and really the alpha characteristics, if you're not familiar with that. But so that's really what it's talking about, and how and why that is so appealing to women.
It is it's really interesting how well and the worldwide popularity of these books are. Just, it's fascinating to see. You right. said that 150 million copies of these books are sold. Like, just kind of like wrapping your brain around that.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is obvious that James is tapping into all of these things simultaneously, and every single one of them is super powerful and potent for a woman.
Exactly. And it's the themes that are the big deal, right? You know, the wealth is a big deal, because then it becomes, money is a non-issue. So now we have that burden lifted from her. She doesn't have to do anything. She doesn't have to work anymore. She doesn't have to do anything, because it's just, money is a non-issue. In as much as, like, not even to the point of like, oh, now your needs are taken care of. It's like any whim is taken care of.
Right. You want to have a great meal? In Rio de Janeiro, you know, tonight.
Okay. Yeah, let's go. right? I mean, or really, that's what it ends up being. Oh, I know this great restaurant in Bali. Let's go. So let's get into some of these some of the questions here, Jay. So, what did you like best about this book?
I would say the thing that really was the most interesting to me, and continues to fascinate me, is this idea that women have a deep kind of a whole kind of myriad of deep mysterious elements that are within them, that if you have the right key, that you can get in and kind of unlock that and release all of these things inside of her. And I think it's just so easy that the average guy looks at their, you know, like their girlfriend or their wife, especially over years, and just kind of like has a picture of her, and I know pretty much who she is. But the truth is, books like this show you that there's a lot more than most guys, you know, most of us even think about, that a woman really feels and desires and is curious about. And this book taps into all of those things.
Right.
So I thought that was really fascinating.
No, I'd agree.
Okay. Yeah. The other thing along with that is, like, I'm also fascinated why so many women are interested in getting spanked and smacked around a little bit. Like, that's fascinating as well.
yeah. And, you know, power dynamic is definitely a huge thing there, submitting to the right person. That's what I think was part of this too, is exploring that through her. Right. So, definitely. What about, you have a quote or two that really stands out for you?
I do. It took me a minute to find them because, as you're kind of mentioning, not necessarily all of the things in this book are spectacular writing. It's more like you have to read a bunch to get ideas. But there's a couple of quotes here that I thought were really good. There's one that's there's a very fine line between pleasure and pain. They are two sides of the same coin, one not existing without the other. And if you push to a certain level, I would have to agree with that. And I think that's a really interesting thought.
Well, right. And I think that, again, it goes along with it. I think where, especially from a man's point of view, that's the typical man's point of view, where maybe that isn't the case. You're like, no, I don't really care for that. But then, you know, there are plenty of people like their back rake down, you know, with their partner's, you know, nails just digging into their flesh, and they really like that. So, I mean, there is a part of that. What do you have another one?
Yeah, that's an interesting question right there. Yeah, and there's one other one I think is really interesting. It talks about, you know, really taps into a woman's desire to kind of like access this guy, you know, at a deep level. And she's talking about him. So this is a man in need. His fear is naked and obvious, but he's lost somewhere in his darkness. His eyes wide and bleak and tortured. I can soothe him. I can join him briefly in the darkness and bring him into the light.
Oh, and she can fix him.
Right.
Women love right. a project and, with it to fix somebody.
It's just so tantalizing to her, and you can tell. I'm sure many of us have had conversations with women and know women who are with horrible guys, but they're like, oh, but I can bring him back to the light. And it's so fascinating.
Or she sees the potential, like, and the potential. Really, right. Cause that's really what it is too. So, all right. What did you learn from this book?
Bottom line, I learned millions of women around the world fantasize about a lot kinkier things than I thought they did.
All right. But fair enough.
I would say that's probably the biggest one.
All right. What's a critique? Just one. Only one.
Only one.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, I wrote one down here, but I'm going to put a different one. I'm disturbed that 150 million people out there have purchased a book that, in spite of how bad the writing is, like the barrier to entry is like, I don't need good writing as long as the subject matter is, you know, accesses me deeply enough. This writing is not good.
No, it's
and
awful.
So many people have, have such a low standard for their writing. It's like, as long as the subject matter is interesting, I can deal with any level of writing. So I critique humanity and the readers of this book,
sure,
that they would be willing to read a book that's so badly written.
Well, you read it and you read the other ones too. So
I couldn't get through them.
Okay. I
tried.
I didn't even get through this book, so I'll just be honest on that one. So what questions would you ask the author?
I would like to know how much of the things in 50 Shades she experienced in her real life, and how much of it is fantasy. She,
sure,
and in many cases says, this is just my fantasies writ large. And I wonder how much of it has remained a fantasy and how much of it is something she's actually experienced.
I think that's I could see that. I could see it going both ways on that one too, but where she's writing from some experience, but
I could see either side. And yeah. I am curious. I would like to know.
Right. So what character other than the main character impacted you the most?
One thing that's actually been fascinating to me for quite some time as I started noticing is that almost every romantic comedy in any romance movie or book, like in the background, you always have these really nice, sweet, loving, supporting characters. And then the main character could be a dick, or he or she could have all kinds of issues and stuff like that. But there's always a couple of supporting characters that are in the background that just support the main character.
Right.
And I feel like Christian Grey's family functions like that. But if you look at pretty much any romantic movie, you'll see that they have a best friend or a
right.
sister or a mom or a couple of people that just love them unconditionally. And I think that's part of the good side of like the light side of Christian Grey. And I think that's really interesting to me.
Okay.
Seeing how loving his family is.
What about any, I don't know, related books that you would recommend?
I would say on the romance sex novel side of things, and it's not particularly a BDSM thing per se, but I really enjoyed the novel Beautiful Player by Christina Loren. It's like, if you've ever seen or heard of My Fair Lady, this is like a really not safe for work version of that. Venture capitalist and a bookish woman, and it's actually fun, and I really like the main character. It's sexy. I think it's one of those books that is worth reading, and it's the kind of thing that definitely fun to discuss with your woman, because I guarantee if she likes this, she'll really enjoy Beautiful Player. So I think that's a good one. I think you should check that one out.
Right.
Matt, let's ask your responses here. I'm looking forward to this, I'll be honest. What did you like best about this book?
What I liked best about this book was my first interaction with this book. Whatever, 10 years ago ish. I was doing work going through various 911 communication centers, and so in that field, it's like 90% women.
I was gonna say it's almost all women.
Yeah, right? It's almost all women. So every dispatcher was reading this book. Everyone. I mean, and I saw dozens of communication centers, and they were all reading this. Your 911 dispatchers out there were reading this book. And my favorite thing was watching them be all hot and bothered and flustered as they were reading this book at work. So I thought that was very funny.
That's amusing, and it's the kind of thing that, like, you're gonna tell if they're reading that book, because this book is like almost a guaranteed turn on for a woman.
Oh no, and they would put the book down in a hurry. Like, yeah, I mean,
you're like,
literally,
you're closing your browser window, you know, when somebody comes in, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like your 12-year-old just got caught looking at Playboy or something. I mean, like, literally, that's what it was.
That's hilarious. All right. Give us a quote or two from the book that you noticed and enjoyed.
You know, I thought the one that I liked was just very simple, which is more of a statement. And it's Anastasia, the main character, talking to her friend, I believe. And it says, "I'm going to have coffee with Christian Grey and I hate coffee. So to me, that's very simple, but it's very much of like, it is the, I'm doing what he wants me to do because he wants to do it, and I'm going to go along with him. And I'm, you know, I'm going to have a great time. I'm going to do it because he wants me to.
So it's just like, you know, at the very, because that's like at the beginning, right? Like that's,
right.
You know, we haven't even got anywhere down the rabbit hole of things.
No.
And she's already going like, this guy wants to do this thing. And so I'm going to go ahead and go with that. Yeah.
Yep.
It's really subtle.
Yeah.
But you're right. That is a statement of like acceding control to somebody else. What do you learn from this book?
I learned that whoever edited this book should never work in the publishing business again. So I, like I said, I did, I literally could not get through this book. I read about a third of it or so. And I just basically my time versus the expenditure to put into reading this was not worth it. The cost benefit was not there. I had such a hard time reading this book. It just, I get it why women like it. My wife has read all of the books. She loves them. I cannot, I couldn't get through it. I could not get through this book.
Okay. So the main point here, this editor, definitely not good. And it may be that E.L. James did the editing herself. So,
maybe.
That could be,
well,
could
and
be
we've
thing.
Been through this process of, with releasing our books and editing and going through this. I mean, so like we had a final, what we thought was a final manuscript of our book, a year ago. And then we were like, yeah, let's edit the hell out of that. And it's turned out much better. So
when you give your book to somebody else and for them to chop up, it's a very challenging thing. And it's possible that she didn't do that. It's an interesting question.
Right.
Let's see. So I'm assuming what you liked least would be the same thing.
And then just weird, odd, lingering descriptions of things that are just completely innocuous and don't add anything to anything. So there's that.
All right. What about questions you'd ask James?
I mean, along the same lines as yours, just like, where did this story come from? You know, was this taken from some personal experiences or anything? So that's really what mine would be.
I would love to hear that story. My guess is we'll never know. Yeah. I can't imagine she's ever going to say that. What character other than the main character impacted you most and why?
I just kept thinking about the roommate, Kate. So at the very beginning, Kate is supposed to interview Mr. Gray, and she had the flu, so she sent Anna. I just go, what happens if Kate would have been there and Anna would have never been there? Then the story would never have happened. Then it would be over. Is that wrong?
I get the impression you'd be like, if only that would have happened, that would have been a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that your related book that you're going to recommend to others here under the related books.
Yeah.
So what is that one?
My related book is by Jocko Willink, and it's Leadership Strategy and Tactics, a Field Manual.
That's
fucking
the
read this book. Yeah, he's a former Navy SEAL. What it really is like, in order to be this kind of person, you need to know how to lead. You need to know how to. If you do not know how to lead, you're not going to be a Christian Grey. If you're a dude sitting there reading or playing World of Warcraft for 10 hours a day, you are not going to have a woman submit to you. It's not going to happen. If you like the idea of having a woman submit to you, read Leadership Strategy and Tactics and learn how to be a leader in other areas of your life. It just transcends all of this because it's all about being a leader anyway. All right. So
that's excellent.
Jay, take us out.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, is there any final thoughts here? Kind of summary, anything for the readers? Are you going to say it's worth their time? Or
don't
they
read
just...
this book. It's not, it is not worth your time. Go, you've listened to enough. Get something else to be a leader. If you want porn, you know, just watch 5 minutes of bondage porn. If you really need to know about this, watch the movie. It's awful, and so is the book. So just you'll get the gist, and it'll only take an hour and a half. And if your woman's there, maybe you'll have some fun afterwards. So it's just pain and suffering after reading this. I literally was just like, fuck it, I'm not reading this.
So I think it actually worked on Matt. It was a different kind of BDSM for him, a torture. I would say it's worth forcing yourself to read through it, just if nothing else, to understand why so many women out there are fascinated by this and how to tap into her psyche. And if nothing else, you're going to have some very interesting conversations as a result of it. Once again, the book, 50 Shades of Grey.
It's a deal with the devil, just selling your soul.
Thank you very much for listening. Make sure to share this podcast with a friend. We will see you guys next time.
A reader lives 1,000 lives before he dies. The man who never reads lives only one. Thank you for listening to the Superior Man Bookcast. Share it with a friend. You heard our thoughts. Go read it for yourself.